Hello, hello, and welcome back to Organic Gardening for Beginners. My name is Jessica, the host of the show, and this week we are kicking off the next month in our gardening season. It is May, so it's time for our What to Do in the Garden This Month episode. And if you tuned in last week, you heard that I kicked off my spring season with a fun addition to our farm. We picked up a couple of sheep, a ewe and her lambs. And so if you're a regular listener, I just want to update you that they are doing very well. Our little lambs are filling out already. Our ewe is a very good mom, and they are currently out in the front yard grazing so that we never have to mow the front yard ever again, hopefully. And I am already experimenting with putting manure and bedding directly into the garden. I'm burying it in my raised beds and then putting just a couple inches of soil on top of that. And I'm super excited to see how it does. Just putting it in cold, not even composted, or I should say putting it in hot, because I'm not letting it age just yet. I want to see what happens. And sheep manure is considered a cold manure, so it won't burn your plants the way chicken or cow manure might without composting it. So we shall see. In any case, so it's May. This is one of the bigger months in the gardening world from my perspective. And for context, I am in Oregon, Western Oregon, Zone 8, and our last frost should be happening in May. Well, it will be happening. Exactly when in the month is yet to be seen, but it should be somewhere in the first, second-ish week is what I usually hear. Although we've had such a mild winter, relatively mild, that I'm hoping that it's on the earlier side so we can get more stuff out safely, which would be really nice. And only time will tell on that one. Our first fall frost is October 28th, or at least that's when it was this last year. So just to kind of give you context, we are in a May through October frost-free area here. And May is the time to plant. If you have not gotten your gardens ready, this is definitely a very good time to do so, so that way you can get out all of your warm weather crops. Pretty much anything that you've been waiting on or that you had started outside, you can plan to get those out in the garden this month. Okay, so let's talk about some lists so that way you have a defined idea of what you should be planting out or going out to the nursery to look for, or the market, Lowe's, wherever you buy your seedlings, or seed packets for that matter. All your nightshades. So your warm weather tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, tomatillos, all of those can go out this month. Now, depending on what area you live in, it will adjust when exactly you can plant them out this month. Like I mentioned, my last frost date is somewhere around the middle of the month, and so yours might be at the very, very end of April. It could have already happened for you. It might be the third week of May. So, you know, make your local adjustments there. But I feel it's safe to say that in May, all of those warm season crops can go out. Additionally, you can start planting out your zucchinis, cucumbers, winter and summer squash, green beans, all of those things that you can either direct sow because they are large, easy to handle seeds and they sprout relatively quickly. Or if you prefer to start them indoors so that way you can just monitor them a little bit more easily, you can do that and then plan to transplant them out after just 2 or 3 weeks because they are such fast growers as little itty bitty seedlings. Most of those will take 5-7-ish days to germinate, and then you can grow them on for a couple weeks indoors, whether that's under lights or under a covered back porch or something like that. And then get those out in the garden. If you start them indoors, as with everything, don't forget to harden them off. I talked a ton about that in a previous episode about how to transplant your seedlings without killing them. But the one sentence summary of that is hardening off means acclimating your seedlings, whether you started them yourself indoors or you bought them, acclimating them to your weather and sunlight exposure outside. Because if they've been grown under grow lights or in a greenhouse or, you know, a warm, cozy environment, and then you plant them out in their full exposure to everything, it's a big transition. They could go into shock, which sounds terrible, but really it just means that they're going to stop growing for a week or two while they adjust. It could kill them, you know, depending on how severe the shock is. So let's just avoid all that and instead slowly introduce them to your weather, your sun exposure, your microclimate in your yard by moving them into full sun slowly, bit by bit. If you want the full breakdown of that, go listen to that episode on how to transplant properly. So in addition to your nightshades and your squash and beans, this is also a fantastic time to start direct sowing your warm season flowers like zinnias and cosmos and sunflowers. Those are the big three that most gardeners love to have somewhere around their garden because they look pretty and they draw in all the bees and the butterflies. Same with the squash and whatnot. If you want to start those indoors, you still can. They might take 4 weeks or so, 3 to 4 weeks before you plant them out, especially the faster growing sunflowers and zinnias. But you can easily just direct sow them straight into the garden. And as well, if you listen to any of my other episodes, you know how much I enjoy companion planting, which is not, for me anyways, a dogma of always plant this with this or avoid planting this with that, but rather a mix and match of everything. I have, for example, a bed out in my garden that I was just planting out yesterday with tomatillo and sunflower and cilantro and scabiosa and onions, and I think there's a kale or two in there somewhere, and they're all just mixed throughout this raised bed. And what I find in my gardening experience is that it helps draw in pollinators, it draws in beneficials, it looks really pretty. There is a larger amount of biodiversity, different growing zones of your plants, whether they are a root crop or a tall vertically grown and trellised crop or somewhere in between. And for me, it results in a much healthier garden. And there are classic combinations like tomatoes and basil or dill and cucumbers, but you can really try just about anything. I feel like the only thing you ever hear is don't plant rue next to a lot of things or sometimes fennel, but I honestly don't know a single person, myself included, who grows fennel or rue. Fennel is one of the very few herbs that I just don't care for. So in my experience, everything grows very well together. But back to our list. So anyways, those warm season flowers can all go out, even like the kind of shoulder flowers that do okay with colder temperatures like calendula or marigold or echinacea, black-eyed Susan, nasturtium, if I didn't already say that, those can all be either direct sown or transplanted. Something like echinacea I would actually transplant because they are slow to grow and a little bit tricky to germinate. But the rest, like the nasturtium and marigold, just pop those seeds in the garden and let them sprout where they are, or pick up some seedlings and pop them in wherever you have room. You can also still be growing all of your salad greens, whether that's lettuce or arugula or mosh or your heartier greens like kale or mustard greens, collards. All of those are still great to plant out right now. Your lettuce will probably last for a couple more months before your summer weather gets it and it starts to bolt. If you have overwintered plants, especially in the kale, cabbage family, they are most likely going to seed if they haven't already, which means that they grew last season, you overwintered them, and you'll have seen them produce a stalk up the middle of the plant covered in yellow flowers. And you might still just have the flowers, or you might be seeing the seed pods on there, which are these long, skinny, they look like a pea pod, but they're a lot smaller than that, and those are full of seeds. And if you want to have volunteer kale or broccoli or cabbage coming up everywhere, then you can leave those and let them scatter on their own. But if you don't want to be pulling up volunteers because they will usually sprout very prolifically, then this is the point where I take those plants out. I toss them to my chickens, you can put them in the compost, and that will prevent those seed pods from popping open and having literally hundreds of volunteer plants coming up everywhere, which may be a good thing, maybe an inconvenient thing depending on your garden and your situation. So all of those things are either already out of my garden or coming out very soon as I'm putting in new fresh plants that will continue producing all this season. Additionally, don't forget that you can always put things like lettuce, herbs, flowers like alyssum and nasturtium wherever you have room in your garden. These really work well as almost a living mulch to shade the soil and keep in moisture. It blocks out weeds. And then you have kind of a built-in pollinator system in your garden bed. So even if your main plants in a raised bed, we'll say, are tomato, basil, and marigold, those three all grow fantastically together. But you still have a little bit of room and you don't want to put in another tomato plant, or you've got enough basil or whatever the case is, pop in a little lettuce plant or some cilantro or a nasturtium seed, and then that is going to grow in and fill in those empty spaces so that you don't have bare soil that can just sprout weeds or lose moisture to the sun. And even if you never harvest it, like you just grow the lettuce and you leave it there, it's still a productive plant that is giving you all those benefits I just mentioned. So if you have the space or the kind of the extra plants sitting around or the extra seeds, try scattering a few extra things. You might come around to actually eat them, or at the very least, they are just acting as a living cover crop or living mulch for your garden and your more focused, targeted crops like your tomatoes. Alrighty, as far as planting goes, that covers most things. Your warm season veggies, your warm season flowers, still plenty of time to get your cool season plants in, those veggies and herbs and whatnot that are equally happy to grow in the warmer weather, but they can tolerate the colder weather. So cilantro is still totally eligible to plant right now, just like lettuce that is going to bolt once the warmer weather comes. But warm season herbs such as basil are going to be very happy getting planted out right now. You can direct sow basil. I prefer to transplant it because that's just how I roll, but either one will work. If you haven't gotten your chives started yet, now is a great time for that. You can start oregano and mint from seed. They're easy to do. They are slower growing. So if you can find seedlings of those, I would recommend that just so that you get a harvest that much sooner. And then on the maintenance side, we touched on this last episode. Don't forget to trellis your veggies or your flowers right at planting. It's going to save you a ton of time down the road, and it just makes it so much easier. So if you have already planted out your peas, but you haven't trellised them yet, make sure you get those trellised unless you are growing a bush variety that doesn't necessarily need support. And even then, honestly, I prefer to at least put up a little bit of chicken wire or something like that, because it just helps keep the peas off the ground so that these slugs have to work a little bit harder to get to my plants. Speaking of slugs, total aside, I finally mulched my peas with some wool that I had gotten from a local sheep farmer before we got our own sheep last week. And because these little itty bitty, like quarter inch long slugs are all over my peas and eating through the stems, it's driving me crazy. So I picked them all off and I mulched with wool, because slugs are not, they are less likely to crawl over the wool. They don't like it. And so I'm experimenting to see if that will help keep the slugs off of my peas enough to actually get a harvest, and then also to go back and mulch other things that are vulnerable to slugs if this wool is as effective as people say it is. So very excited about that. The sheep are coming into play already, and they've only been here for a week. And then additionally, if you are not mulching yet, make sure you mulch. I talked about that last episode too. Trellis, mulch. If you're going to put in drip irrigation, do that early in the season so that you aren't fighting these big pokey zucchini fronds to get your emitters around, or having to, you know, watch out that you don't break branches of things as you are putting in elbows and leading around your plants and whatnot. It's so much easier just to do it now while everything is small or your beds are still empty. If you haven't planted out yet because you haven't gotten your garden done, I'm hearing that a lot at the farmer's market of, this weekend I'm going to get my garden ready. And I've been hearing that for a couple weeks now. So hopefully people make time for it. But if you're in that position where your garden bed's not ready, or you're waiting to get some bulk soil, or whatever the reason, don't forget about grow bags. Sometimes I forget to mention these. I talk about containers, but specifically a grow bag is a felt or fabric bag that you just plant in as if it were a pot. And I prefer the grow bags to an extent because they don't get as hot as plastic pots. Those plastic pots can really cook your soil, and I'm not a huge fan of those. I would rather go for a ceramic or even a resin pot, but those can be cost prohibitive. So you can get grow bags, which I have used in the past, and just use those as your container garden. Very quick, very easy to get off the ground. a lot of the sellers will have a little bit of a guide of how much soil you need to fill the certain size of grow bags. And that can be a very handy way to just get her done and get it planted. So don't forget about grow bags if you're in that position. Beyond that, your garden has months ahead of it to grow. So even I, with many years under my belt, have been running around like a headless chicken, feeling like I'm late on this. I haven't started that. I need to start these seeds. What about this over here? And feeling so behind all the time. And that's not helped by the fact that I have thousands of extra plants for the market and my plant sale. I have my big plant sale coming up this weekend. I cannot wait. I will definitely inform you guys how that goes. And even knowing that, I also am able to remind myself there are still many months left to go. I've planted a summer garden in June because we moved. I've planted a summer slash fall garden in July. I still get stuff to eat. I still get beautiful flowers to look at. So if you are in a transition time or life is crazy or you have a newborn or you're sick or whatever the case is, and normally you would be out in the garden and you're not right now, I've been there. It sucks. And you probably, no matter what anybody says, are going to feel behind. But just remember that you still have time. Your planting schedule can be very flexible. It's the very end of April and obviously soon to be May. But it's try not to fall victim to that mentality of it's too late, because usually it's not too late. You can always plant something. And if you're coming into these episodes, or heck, you find this episode a month later and it's June 1st and you're feeling way, way behind, go back and listen to some of my later summer, early fall episodes from last year. And I talk a ton about fall gardening, things you can overwinter, quick maturing crops that you can plant in July that you'll still get a harvest off of, like lettuce or zucchini or certain cucumber varieties. There's almost always something to plant almost any time of the year. So whether you are listening to this on May 1st or September 1st, there's something to plant, and just enjoy the process, I guess is what I'm getting to. Enjoy the process, realize that you can always plant something. One thing I want to mention that I forgot too, with the warm season crops like the tomatillos and the peppers, if you are planting them out in a raised bed or even a row, make sure you leave yourself some room to trellis those plants. I know that tomatoes get all the attention for trellising because we all kind of have an idea that they get to be large and bushy, but if you've never grown tomatillos before, those things get humongous, very vigorous plants usually. And peppers can also start to fall over if they get a little bit too top heavy. So I like to use tomato cages for my peppers rather than tomatoes, because the tomatoes will just eat the whole thing. And tomatillos, I've used tomato cages in the past. I've done the Florida weave in the past, which is basically two stakes at the end of your bed. And then you pinch the plant in between two rows of string, more or less. And they both work. I find tomatillos to be large and floppy, regardless of how I trellis them. But just some sort of support to keep the branches from breaking under the weight of all that fruit can be really helpful and kind of keep things contained. And this doesn't necessarily pertain only to May, but if you see a Colorado potato beetle on your tomatillos, make sure you exterminate those things ASAP. I'm all about working with nature in the garden. You guys know that by now. But those things will decimate your tomatillo plant. It's like a hornworm for tomatoes. You go out, you see it, and the next day half your plant is gone. So I don't mess around with those guys. I drop them off into soapy water so they can't get back out. So just a total side note, whether you're listening to this in May or August, keep an eye out for those guys because they are unfriendly. That's it for today, guys. It doesn't take so long to go through these episodes anymore because these are mostly planting updates, because a lot of the maintenance you do from month to month, whether you're listening to the September episode or the January one, it's all about mulch, making sure that you are planning ahead for planting out the next month, different educational pieces that you can look into, whether that's composting or companion planting, and really taking advantage of all those facets of your garden. So relatively short and simple today. Get out in the garden, enjoy it. It's cold and rainy for us today. It's 50 degrees. It's been raining for 3 days straight. I'm over it, but I get to be working on all my seedlings and transplanting and all that good stuff. So there's always something to do in the garden, even when it's raining. All right, talk to you guys next week. Bye.